Liz, good morning.
Hi, Philip. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well. Thanks so much for joining me. Firstly, can you explain a little bit? It seems like a confusing concept, given that Asia is it's an entirely different continent to Europe. Can you explain a little bit about how Eurovision Asia is going to work and what's going to be happening with it?
It's a good question, one that, you know, we're all kind of waiting for the answer for. So this has really just been an announcement that's come out of the Eurovision organisers, the European Broadcasting Union, who are the people who put on Eurovision every year and have done since 1956. So if they say that's how, and remember that even though Eurovision is a music competition, it's really a big television event, and that's why the broadcaster is the one that kind of runs it, if you like, is driving it. So if they're saying that they're going to use the same kind of television format, then that's what we can expect. I imagine it's going to be, and it's very, you know, it's very common for us now. It's going to be kind of like The Voice or any of those reality shows where you get a live performance, you get to vote live, and, you know, people interact that way. And I imagine the reason that they're doing it this way is because, well, as you know, Australia's crept into Eurovision for the last couple of years, and we're certainly not part of Europe. So I'd say what they're doing is acknowledging that there's so many audiences outside of Europe proper that are interested in Eurovision as a concept. So they're trying to capitalise on that by allowing those audiences to have their own representatives and to vote and participate fully rather than at arm's length.
Mm. Well, with that in mind, why do you think that organisers would have chosen the Asia-Pacific as the next singing continent?
Well, there's certainly really big support through our broadcasters. The SBS, even though we might sort of think of SBS as being maybe on the fringe of Australian broadcasting, it's really, really, the support it's been able to provide for Eurovision has been really amazing. And so there's a huge acknowledgement of that by the European broadcaster, which is how we got in the first place, was that it was the relationship between the European broadcaster and SBS more than anything else. So I know that there's certainly a lot of fans across Asia, and if that's what they're trying to do is make connections with different Asian broadcasters and do it that way. But it's going to be interesting to see how they go, because in this first announcement they've talked a lot about social media and the official YouTube channel and everything. So they might be, you know, I mean, they'll still obviously be using SBS as a broadcaster, but in other parts of Asia there might be a bypassing of traditional broadcasters altogether and just going online. It just remains to be seen.
Mm. If you've just tuned into The Daily this morning, we're speaking right now with Dr. Liz Jaffray, a lecturer in communication from University of Technology, Sydney. We're having a chat about what we can expect to see, or maybe, with Eurovision Australia, which has just been announced. Now, Liz, I know that Australian audiences, I mean, a lot of people in Australia do have a big affinity with a lot of the pop that does come out of different Asian countries. How well do you think Australian audiences will engage with the prospect of this Eurovision Asia competition?
I think pretty well. I mean, the appeal of Eurovision for us, I think, is it's kind of kitschy and kind of, I mean, in some ways, I think what we like is that it's a little bit unknown to us. I don't want to say alien or foreign because it's not quite what I mean, but it's something that's not of the everyday for us. And I think as long as it's got all the hallmarks of Eurovision proper, which is all the kind of spectacular costumes and spectacular kind of stage presentation and stuff, I think we'll get behind it the same way we get behind Eurovision as it is.
Mm. Well, certainly the pomp and circumstance of the whole event is really what makes it so exciting, that it is so much larger than life. It's, you know, borderline ridiculous, but it's so much fun.
Absolutely, yeah. It's not borderline. It is ridiculous. That's all right. Totally ridiculous. That's what we love.
Well, it's one of the most anticipated international viewing events of the year. Now, how do you think that Eurovision Asia will go over in Europe?
It's interesting to see. I mean, I know that there was a bit of kickback in Europe when, say, Australia snuck in and other countries that aren't technically part of Europe, or the loose definition of Europe, shall we say, was being used. But then again, I mean, you know, it really just remains to be seen how good the product is. So, you know, if there's enough of that, you know, I mean, there's two ways. In Europe, people tend to vote and watch according to what country they actually have a linkage to. Well, I mean, there's heaps of, we're a global society now, you know, to the idea that people could be watching in Europe and following their relatives from Japan, or be people from Japan who are watching in Europe, is very, very, you know, possible, for example. So I think it's got just as much scope as any other. I mean, the big difference is, again, that you're going to, is that the Europeans might be experiencing this at arm's length in a way that the rest of us have been for a while. So they might take a little bit of adjusting. And the big thing will be when it's on. If it was, say, directly on at the same time as Eurovision proper, then that wouldn't work. But that doesn't seem to be what's going on. So it should be fine.
Well, do you think that this, what we're seeing with Eurovision spreading to different countries and incorporating different countries, that down the track we could potentially, in the future, have beyond Eurovision but a global pop music celebration and competition?
Yeah, they could give it a go. I know they tried that with the Idol franchise when that first came out. There was a World Idol. I think that only happened once, though. It was around Guy Sebastian's tenure in Australian Idol. So that's a while ago now, at least a decade ago now, I think. So certainly, yeah, they could try. But you'll have the same issues that we have kind of everywhere, which is taste and tradition and all that stuff. So even Eurovision at the moment, this question about what language do people sing in and what conventions do they use. And I know that English is becoming kind of a common language, but that doesn't really do justice to all the places that don't sing in English and the audiences that don't respond in English. And also, it's quite a narrow, if we're going to do something global, let's enjoy the diversity of that, you know. So those little things would have to be worked out, but yeah, it'd be great if they did.
Would be fantastic to see. Liz, thanks so much for joining me to give a bit of speculation about just what Eurovision Asia will wind up being. Thanks for your time.
No worries, thanks.